You're listening to episode 385. Do you look up to health experts for inspiration on social media, such as podcast hosts or healthy Instagrammers or TikTokers, and think, I wish I was as perfect with my health as they are? It's easy to put health gurus and leaders on a pedestal and think, I'll never be as good as healthy as, or as great as them. But guess what? Social media is just the highlight reel, and that's really easy to forget. And on today's episode, I have someone whom has been here a few times before, a fellow podcaster and a colleague in the space of nutrition and sugar addiction. And we're talking about our own bad habits with sugar, our own health status and the health challenges that we've got going on right now, and where we feel like we're letting ourselves down. And because of that, we feel like imposters and feel a little bit like frauds when it comes to our actual day job of working in the space of nutrition and sugar and food and health. It's basically two good friends having a really honest chat about the reality of being a human and also being a health professional. And on that note, let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to another episode of the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. In 2024, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and sugar binges so they can stop yo-yo dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body they feel confident being in. Who doesn't want that? The links to get involved in any of the programs that we run are down in the show notes below. And today, I want to introduce you to probably the person that's been on the podcast the most, maybe. Danielle Dame, who is a sugar freedom coach, nutritionist, somatic breathwork facilitator, a speaker, a podcast host. She's all of the amazing things, and she's a great host when you stay in her house in Canada, because I've done that. And recently, she's a pregnant mama. Danny, welcome to the show.
Yes, how's that for an intro? Oh my gosh. Thanks, Maddie. Yeah, thanks for having me back on, and I know we're going to share this on my podcast as well, so...
Yeah.
Excited to chat. I know we love to connect. We always have such awesome conversations when we connect throughout the weeks and months. And we're like, oh, we need to record this on a podcast. So I'm glad we're doing it.
It feels like everybody that's a millennial that has a good conversation says, we should podcast that.
Yeah.
But we actually have podcasts. So
we can actually make this happen. Yeah.
Yes.
You guys are seeing it happen right here, right now in the making.
It's live. Well, kind of. Anyway, what's been going on? You're pregnant. Tell the world about that.
I'm pregnant. Yes. At the time we're recording this in July, I'm about 6 months pregnant. And we were checking in before you hit record. And yeah, I'm grateful. It's been a pretty smooth pregnancy. I actually have a whole episode over my podcast with all the pregnancy updates and juicy details about the future. But yeah, I'm really grateful. I hate talking to other pregnant women who are like really having a shit show of it because it's been pretty smooth. Like I didn't get nauseous. I am starting to have some sciatic pain and some back pain as my belly grows. So like some of that stuff's showing up, a little bit uncomfortable sleeping. But yeah, overall, like be smooth. Yeah, grateful for that and excited for what is about to unfold. We're having a little boy as well. Aww, so I'm hoping, Maddie, you're going to teach me like what I need to know about little boys. I guess, I don't know. Having been one yourself, I'm hoping you've got all the insider information for me.
I'm highly experienced at being a boy. I'm probably still too much of a boy rather than a man, but no, that's so exciting. I mean, being a man, like I would love to have a little boy. Like that would be, yeah. Are you allowed to say like that you would prefer to have a particular gender, or are you like a bad parent if you say that out loud?
I know. I think it's like mixed. Yeah, a lot of people were asking me about that too. And I was like, I noticed in myself like being a little bit like, well, I kind of like I would love a little girl, right? I think like women would really love a little girl. We always want little mini-me's, right?
Yeah.
And I noticed myself feeling a little like bad about that. But I don't think nobody's ever shamed me for being like, oh, but they do say, right? Like, it doesn't matter. You're going to love them. And that, which is true. I mean, I'm going to love the shit out of this little guy. He's going to be amazing.
Course.
He's going to be so good at cooking and chopping firewood. Both.
Yes.
The perfect balance of the divine masculine and feminine. Yeah, he's going to knit and cook for me and then go chop firewood and like go hunting with dad.
Oh, I'm so happy for you and Ben. This is so exciting. Yeah. I want to get on a plane next year and come and visit.
Yes, I know. Well, you'll have to. I know we keep talking about that. So we'll make it happen again. It was nice to see you in person last year. Was it last year? Was it like a year ago?
It was a year ago now. Yeah, it was July, late July. Yeah.
Wow. Not long enough. Everybody listening, he only came for like 4 days. It was ridiculous. He'll come to Canada for 4 days.
I know.
What was going through your mind there?
Well, I just thought it was going to be so much more expensive. So Canada wasn't a part of my trip at all. And then I was like, oh, it's like $200 difference. Let's visit Danny.
And I fed you and, housed you. It was pretty simple.
It was amazing because after, however many weeks, almost 2 months of traveling Europe, I was not feeling good with all the food that was in my body. I was just waiting to get to your house because I was like, oh, I'll finally get some good food into my body.
And the first thing I made you do was drink wine with me. I was like, I need to have a glass of wine with my friend Maddie.
And I just come straight from Italy.
Yeah, you had. That was bad planning on my part, but we made it work.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I think that's actually an interesting area we could go next. I know we were both kind of thinking about bringing this into the podcast is like the realities of health. I think, I don't know about you, but I know so many of my listeners and my clients put me on this pedestal, think I'm perfect, think that I'm always healthy and I'm doing all the right things all the time and following all the advice and doing all the things, which teaser is a lie. And so that's where you enter the dramatic music when you edit this podcast. But I'm curious for you, where are you with your health? Like, what's the reality of what it looks like to be in Maddie's world? Ooh. Like, what do you do on a daily basis? Do you eat sugar? Do you emotionally eat? Are you perfect with all of your routines and habits? Where's your balance with health and how that looks like right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm actually, like all of us, probably as practitioners, go through phases where I feel like a bit of a fraud.
Yeah.
And because, the reason that I know how to do a lot of this emotional eating work and is because I've been an expert emotional eater before in my life. I don't often talk about my business or in my marketing about me. It's not one of those sort of businesses, a lot of personal brand businesses are like, I can help you because I helped me. And that's not the way that I communicate my work to people. But there is a significant chapter where that was the truth in the sense that, I used to just binge eat my feelings, and my relationship at the time was the way that we solved problems was just pizza and chocolate and wine. And but lately, I have a broken joint in my right foot, and I have a tendon strain in my left forearm. So that's both of those have been intermittently going on for about 4 months. I haven't walked into a gym in like 4 months, and I feel like my body composition is changing. And despite the fact my partner says, nothing's different at all, I'm like, yeah, thank you. I'll pay you later. I feel really kind of, insecure about my body at the minute. And it means that I feel like a sloth. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You're saying this
to a pregnant woman, by the way. So just check yourself.
which is not sloth-like. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
I feel like a giant bear trying to walk through the woods. Wait for me.
Yeah, but the coolest bear ever.
Yeah. Beautiful, glowing, radiant bear. Yes, got it.
But I feel basically limited to ab workouts because the right foot injury is from a football incident that happened months ago, and it took a while for them to figure out. There was ultrasounds and x-rays, and then months later an MRI, and then the left forearm injury is from go-karting. It's like RSI from go-karting because I did a race last night that was 120 laps. Anyway, the point is right leg, left arm, not working out, feel kind of puffy and inflamed and like I've lost a bit of muscle and gained a bit of fat. And the other side of that is, and probably many of the listeners know, is that it feels like when the rhythm of your normal health routine is out, other things start to slip more easily. And it's like, I'm not feeling pumped and energized from the gym. So it's like, maybe I'll start eating earlier than I normally would because I'm not filling that time with activity. I'm kind of bored and I don't want to get straight to work, or I need a break from my work. And I always work about 10 steps from the fridge in my house. So
dangerous.
So the health challenges that I'm dealing with at the minute, well, that's my physical body, but I don't know if people know, but I was born with all over body eczema. And so when I'm going through...
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I was born with this really bad skin stuff, and they tried all these steroid creams and different things, and it was an aromatherapy course that my mum did at some point in the 80s that ended up solving the issue. However, throughout my adult life, like those issues come back, and so I've got some of those skin issues at the minute, which so it's, you know, it's not great. It lowers my confidence. It, you know, just don't feel good. I feel fraudulent. I'm like, I can't even get control of the stuff in my own body that's going on. So, and all of that lends itself to, you know, eating a little more than I might like, not caring as much about my health because I can't tick all the boxes, and then having to coach myself back into something that I would coach somebody in front of me to do, which is like, you know, one thing at a time, do what you can do, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, there's the personal health update from me.
I love it. Yeah. And I love that you're able to coach yourself. I'm not. I need to have somebody like my support team. Like when I get into those ruts or those areas, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to like go see my therapist or go check in with like my people that will smack me back into face and get the accountability going again. And yeah, get me back into it. I need to do that with fitness as well too. Like I have not been, I don't have the injuries per se, but that's always been something that's been challenging for me, is especially strength. I'm pretty good at like in the morning, I'll either go for a run or walk or yoga, but like strength stuff has always been so hard for me. And it's so much more important now that I'm pregnant. Like it just, I don't know if that's true, but it feels more important to me. So it's true for me,
yeah.
Right? To like prepare my body for birth and keep my pelvic floor healthy and, you know, to feel strong. I'm going to have to lift a baby soon. And my arms feel like little noodles sometimes. I gotta get on this shit.
Well, as well, I know that probably people we both work with feel like this, but sometimes, yeah, you think about all of the healthy things we should be doing each day, and it actually feels like that's hours of my day, you know? Where does life happen? And I actually used to be all about morning routines, and now I don't do a morning routine at all, because it's that this is my most productive hours, because for me, when Danny and I are having this conversation, it's literally, you know, 7:30 in the morning. But I realized my morning routine, where I do a bit of yoga and stretching and my workout and all of these things, and then I would get to my desk and I would have just lost. I don't gain those hours later in the day. I've just lost them now. So I don't know. What about you? Do you feel like sometimes the list of being a health and wellness influencer is just too big to actually do?
Yeah, unsubscribe. I'm just unsubscribed right now. I feel overwhelmed in my nervous system as you're talking about it. I fully agree. Like, I know my approach as well has been very, like, I really believe, at least in my body, I'm pretty connected to my body. And I know, like, when I try to do all the things, I get so overwhelmed and it feels stressful. And then I'm counterbalancing all the good that's supposed to come out of it. Like, for me, one of my biggest priorities is having a regulated nervous system. And that sometimes means not doing a morning routine as well. Like my morning routine's actually shifted. I'll just go water my garden now, like barefoot in the garden now that it's summer. And I'm like, that's a beautiful way to start my day. The cats are usually out there. We have a snuggle. I'll do some stretching, water my garden, come back inside and make breakfast. So it just shifts. But yeah, for sure. Like I think we put a lot of this on a pedestal, because like every expert's talking about, you need to do this and then you need to do this and then you need to do this and that and this. And we're already so overwhelmed and overworked, especially the women that I work with, like running around in this rat race with not enough time in the day. And I don't know, for me, it's just building some foundational pieces and then just letting the rest go. Like there's so much. I mean, we have some friends who are like really into biohacking.
Yeah.
And all the things that they do, I'm like, no, no way. Like, this is no, just no. I don't have time for that. And that's just me finding my own. I'm not saying everybody, you know, listening to this, that if that works for you, that's awesome. But for me, I really love like simplicity. That's a big theme of mine and something that I'm continuing to try to cultivate, is like simplicity in my life, doing less, not more. Right. And for me, that's just really in alignment with the beliefs that I have about getting back to health and getting back into nature and slowing down and supporting my body with the natural things, like getting outside and having water and eating real food and sleeping, right? Like it doesn't have to be more complicated than that. Unless, of course, you want to biohack, then you've got to do this whole list of things.
Yeah, well, on that note, I was just thinking about our wonderful friends that we both love that are deep into that biohacking world. I'm wondering if you feel any sense, because I know that you don't live in a city. So I live in a city and 50% of my podcast is basically in this city, which is like hundreds of thousands of people, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you feel this, but I feel that if I go out in public, whether it's on a date or, you know, whether it's just, you know, hanging out with friends, that if I'm seen, like last night, so after we go go-karting, everybody goes, there's like a burger truck, you know, that's like open late at night and we all go. And it's actually very rare that I have anything that's just so late at night. But I have this anxiety about being caught in public, like, oh my God, it's Maddie Lansdowne, the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast guy, and he's eating a burger, you know, like, or he's eating fried chips. And I have it in the day, in the night, no matter what. Yeah. And yeah, it was date night this week and we went to a very public event with lots of families and stuff like that. And the whole time I was like, oh my God, I hope nobody sees that we've got chips. Like, but then also coaching myself out of that and be a real human, relax, you know. So do you feel any sense of that, like, in public?
Yeah, I love that you brought that up because that's so, so real. And yeah, I have had that before, not to the same extent. I'm up here in a little small town, rural Canada. A lot of my listeners are in the States, right? They're not going to find me. But but I do still notice that. Like, I'll go, there's a cafe when I go out for breakfast. There's not a lot of good options, by the way. I should probably start one. I just don't feel like doing that. But
Melbourne is like the brunch capital of the world. Oh, so
we need more of that here. Yeah.
You got to come here.
Well, maybe not. I mean, maybe it's also because I just make such great breakfast at home. I'm like, why would I go out? Anyway, so
yeah,
when I do occasionally, I'll go out and get breakfast and I'll get like a coffee and then they make like these amazing scones or cinnamon buns. And I'll usually get one like with the occasional time that I'll go there. And I do notice, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's usually actually family that I'm on the lookout for. Somebody's going to see me. They're going to like haze me about having sugar. But I think actually, most of my friends and family are pretty in the know that like Danny still eats sugar. And like, it's just on different terms now and it's not a big deal. And take the stress out of that. But I can imagine for you, yeah, it's like being spotted in public. And also, as you said, like we're real humans and we eat sugar and big whoop. Like, you know, it's... Yeah, it's a fine line between like just living our lives and being regular humans and also, yeah, looking after ourselves. And
yeah, I know for myself, like I like to talk about, you know, the happy, healthy weight or the happy, healthy life. And so to me, because I want to live a wholesome life, which involves all of the experiences, I really like gravitate towards the idea. And I talked about this to clients and it may or may not resonate with them, but it's the, you know, when you're with the PT at the gym, sure, 10 kilos or 20 pounds might be the goal, but then you realize on Friday night when you do pizza night with your partner or the family or whatever, that you don't want to sacrifice that meaningful social experience that builds memories. And so the reality is, it's like my healthy weight's 10 kilograms or 20 pounds lighter, but my happy, healthy life is created at 5 kilograms lighter or, you know, 10 pounds. And so I personally, I'm a nutritionist. I know that if I got rid of it all permanently, like that my body would change in a particular way. But for me, that level of gain in physical, you know, sculpting, let's say, is not worth the sacrifice of all the meaningful experiences that I'll have with my partner or, you know, my family or my friends or any of that kind of stuff. So for me, I'm okay with that. But I've also been through periods of my life where I was like fully focused on the fitness goal or the achievement. And I did cut that stuff out and I got the benefit and I saw the result and it was great at the time. It's just not something that I want to live in permanently.
Yeah. No, I love that. I couldn't agree more. I think for me, it's that, yeah, I get that, like, it's that word balance that comes in. It's like figuring out what it is that's important to me and like what kind of life, like the meaningful life that I want to live, right? And what are some of these activities that are involved in that? And that might be like going out for ice cream with my niece. It might be, you know, and then finding ways to do it slightly better, right? Like, this is, I think, where you and I are both really good at, right? If we say, I'm going to go out and take my niece out for ice cream and have that experience with her, we're going to have lunch first. Right? And we're going to do it in the middle of the day, not right before bed. So nobody sleeps. Like, gosh, I just don't understand how parents do that, you know, and try to make, you know, the impact on the body a little bit less. Right. And also with wine. I'm going to talk about this. Like, obviously I'm pregnant. I haven't been drinking. I have had sips here and there, and that's going to make some people really like angry at me, but I'm going to say it right here, right? I haven't even been strict now. I've definitely allowed myself a little bit here and there, and I'm drinking a little bit of caffeine, way less than I used to. And, you know, finding that balance and the research that I've looked into that I know in my body that I'm safe. So yeah, it's finding, you know, finding that peace. And I think all of like what you said really sounds like it comes back to this like self-compassion, like letting ourselves off the hook a little bit here with like having to look perfect or having to look a certain way and just like finding that balance. You know, and for me, I know my balance includes making sourdough bread. I'm like starting a homestead. Yum. And one day I may even actually make jam. Like I've boycotted jam for so many years because it's just really? Sugar. Yeah, I never eat jam. And I'm like, oh, it's so bad for you. It's sugar, sugar, sugar. And I know there's low sugar options, but I think I'm going to get back into jam because I'm going to grow my own berries and I'm going to be making things from the land. And I want to put it on my sourdough toast. And I'm tired of people saying that I can't.
No, so I agree. Good. Well, and I guess when you have a healthy relationship with sugar, and healthy doesn't mean that sometimes you don't eat more than you wish you didn't.
Totally.
But,
totally.
You know, it's okay to have the things that you want. And I fully acknowledge that people listening might be like, oh, amazing. So I can moderate. Some people can't. Some people really cannot. And so sometimes removing it permanently is the only option. And for some people that might be in phases, like might be windows of life that you need to do that. But I'm curious to know from you, and I'm happy to share as well, like how often do you eat sugar? Like how much do you make sure that you stay under the recommended amount of grams per day? Or do you have a strategy or like, what do you do?
Yeah, this is changes every year. Like, as I think you mentioned earlier, it totally ebbs and flows. And actually it changes weekly. There's some weeks like I don't eat any sugar and then there's some weeks I do. And we have officially hit blueberry season and I'm going to be overdosing on blueberries for the next few weeks. And I have no problem with that. Eating peaches, like natural fruits and stuff that are like in season. I'm a big fan of in season eating. So yeah, I mean, like I said, it totally changes. But lately I have been observing over the last few weeks that I'm definitely eating more sugar than I want to be. It's gotten really hot here and my old MO of like reaching for some ice cream has come back in a couple times a week. No, maybe like once or twice a week. And then what else do I eat for sugar? Oh man, I'm a big fan of a bagel here and there. That's not going anywhere. A good bagel. I'll have like an egg bagel for breakfast. So there's protein and avocado and sprouts and like really good cheese, some cheese on there. And it's so good. But I, you know, consider that sugar, of course, as well with the like white bread.
Yeah.
Which I will need to learn. That's on my list to make my own sourdough bagels. So at least it's like really good ingredients.
Yeah.
So yeah, lately I've definitely been having it a couple times a week. And my husband and I are going hiking tomorrow. I am bringing licorice with me. I've already decided I want some licorice when we're out there on the trail. Like, oh, there's something about like camping and licorice. I think it's a childhood thing.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going for it. I haven't had licorice in so long. So yeah. I'm going for it. And yeah, and I'm not going to worry about it. Because I know what my body can handle. And you asked if there was like a system. I don't really have a system. Mm-hmm. I just know. Like at this point, it's so intuitive. Like I know when, okay, I got to like rein it in a bit. Or I know when like my body's okay or can handle it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm always aware of like, okay, what am I having that's really healthy today? Like protein and fat. And if I am having ice cream, like what else can I add to it? Like it's always got lots of nuts on it and it's full fat. And, you know, I'm trying to like do those things. Those are just second nature to me now. So trying to like make those small pieces a part of it is just, yeah, it's not something I think about. It just kind of happens as I kind of do that. So what about you?
Yeah. You mentioned protein and fat. Do you have any system that you use before sugar, or is it like it's fully whatever you intuitively want to do? Or do you have some kind of structure to make sure that you get the good things in first? And then there's permission for sugar.
It's pretty feminine and fluid. I don't have a lot of structure to what I do anymore. Even with my meal planning, my clients are asking me, what's your meal planning habit? And I was like, I just cook food. I just cook food when the fridge is looking empty and it's just so natural now. So, which is so funny for me to say, because I used to be such a rigid, needed plan, masculine. And now I'm like so much more my feminine. I think especially being pregnant, like I'm really in my like my feminine phase of life. I'm like really in tune with just kind of like ebbing and flowing with it. And like I said, it's a lot of it is just intuitive.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to make sure I have lunch first, and then I'll have, if I'm going to have ice cream, I'll have it after lunch, right? Or
yeah,
if I'm having my bagel for breakfast, I'm also going to have, you know, a bunch of egg and avocado on there and cheese and add some other good stuff. So yeah, no system. I just wing it and it works for me because I've, because caveat to everybody listening, I've been practicing this for so many years.
Well, yeah.
Like I just kind of flow, and I also just, I'm noticing as I go further every year, I feel like I'm giving less craps. Like I'm giving less fucks about like being super strict. And because I went through those phases too. It was like hardcore. I'm not allowed to eat jam. And, you know, I trust my body, and I know like I don't overdose on sugar anymore. Like I know what to do. I know like to, I can have a little bit. Like these are all foundational pieces that I've built over the years that help me like have that bowl of ice cream in the evening and not stress about it or worry about it, because that was my only sugar for the last 2 days or what have you. So yeah, I'm actually having some kombucha.
I think the most important thing of everything you just said is I trust my body, because I think a lot of people will listen and say, oh, then I don't need structure, then I can just flow with it and it's totally fine. Danny and Maddie eat sugar and they just flow and that's whatever. But we both, two things, I think, we both trust our body to say no when we don't want it or we've had enough, and we're able to listen to that sign or signal that comes through and say, okay, thank you, because we're not necessarily eating the sugar to overdose and not deal with our emotions, et cetera, because we've done the work. But the other thing is, you just said as well that you don't really meal plan, you just cook because you're so good at cooking. And I know because I've eaten it, but you're such a good cook. And what that means is that you and I both actually genuinely really look forward to delicious, healthy food. And people think it's some kind of brainwashing that happens to healthy people where they just love healthy food. No, herbs and spices have existed for a millennia, or probably multiple millennia. It's just as soon as you know how to use them, which is super simple, they come in packs already organized. Like you can create meals that you're like, oh, I actually really don't want chocolate right now. I really crave, you know, this particular meal.
Don't forget about garlic. That's my go-to. Garlic. It's such a it's so easy. I make this garlic tahini dressing that I put on anything, and it's so delicious. It's so good.
Do you put lemon in that as well?
No. No, it's garlic, tahini, nutritional yeast, soy sauce, water, apple cider vinegar. I think those are the salt.
Oh, great. Yeah, I made one the other day that was garlic, tahini, lemon, and olive oil.
Nice. Yeah. See, guys, there's other flavors out there.
Totally.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was kind of what I was getting at too. Like this has taken me years of practice, and and it's a different approach. Like when I'm choosing to have a bowl of ice cream, I'm choosing it.
Conscious.
Right? It's not, it's conscious. And like, I'm getting to choose, you know what? It's probably not the best tonight, but I'm going to have it anyway, because I want it, not because I need it. And that was a big difference for me in my body. It's like, this is no longer like, I need to have that thing to make it through this social environment or this evening because I'm so stressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that switch is something for me, that was always a part of like what I call sugar freedom. The word freedom in there for me, it was like not feeling like sugar had that pull on me anymore. And hey, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. And sometimes I definitely am like in the depths of some big growth, and it's been days of like grief or some shit that I'm going through, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm having a pizza. Fuck it, I'm having this thing, and I'm emotionally eating. And sometimes I do that consciously. I'm like, I'm allowing myself to do this right now, and I'm aware of it, and I don't guilt or shame myself for it like I used to, which in my opinion is really where a lot of the toxicity actually comes from.
Mum, mother, grandmother, nan, nana, and women with no kids. Have I got your attention? So I want you to imagine something. Go with me here. Imagine a life where even when you wake up tired and the kids are driving you mad and work sucks and things are problematic, that you're still in control of your food and you still make healthy choices without giving up and binging on chocolate and wine and saying, I'll try again tomorrow. It might be hard to imagine, but having freedom with your food is absolutely possible. And it starts by getting three things right. One, having a supportive community, building a strong connection with fellow emotional eating warriors. Two, having the right information delivered in the right way. And three, having a guide that can shine a light on the right path and have your back along the way. And that's me. Those three things are exactly what we've got for you inside the Healthy Mums Collective Facebook group for people just like you wanting to end their emotional eating and feel good in their own skin again. And currently, it's free to join. The link is in the show notes below. If you've struggled with diets or felt powerless around food, you're not alone. But let me assure you, this is a community that understands your battles and is ready to empower you into action. So what can you expect on the inside? Well, we have posts and content that push you a little out of your comfort zone. We do Facebook Lives, have interactive Q&A session, and it's simply a safe space to face your food challenges and be honest without concern of being judged. If you decide to join us, I have a complimentary How to Turn Food into Self-Confidence ebook for you as well, completely free. The Healthy Mums Collective thrives on support, authenticity, and experience-based practices. It's a community, so the beautiful people in it is where the magic comes from. To join us and be a part of that magic, head to the show notes, click the link, breeze through a few quick questions, and you'll be in the Healthy Mums Collective before you know it. Again, the link is in the show notes below. I'll see you in the DMs or on the welcome post in just a few moments.
Yeah, I would say as well that the overeating part of binge eating or sugar, you know, out of control sugar consumption is that a lot of people don't stop to beat themselves up verbally. They just keep eating as the form of beating themselves up, right? Whereas I think if you've started to manage that a little bit, you're able to say, oh, I'm doing this right now and comfortably put it down and then, you know, maybe have a moment of saying, hey, how did we get here? Check in, do all of the things, all the tools that we teach people. But I think a lot of people just continue to eat the whole bag or finish it as the self-punishment on top of what they've already done. So it's like they binge eat to beat themselves up for binge eating.
Right. Yeah. And then we're stuck in like the guilt and shame spiral.
Yeah.
And like, how's that helpful? So do you eat sugar?
Yeah.
I didn't forget. We're coming back to ask. What does that look like? How often do you eat sugar? You're not getting out of this one.
Yeah, how often? I would say I have a little bit more structure than you around it. I don't necessarily have like a cheat day or a treat meal. I like to think about, so the kind of rule, if you like, or I prefer the word agreement that I have with myself is that whenever I catch up with anybody outside of the house, I'm just going to listen to whatever I want. I'm just going to go with whatever I want. If we're having Italian on a Tuesday, I'm going to order whatever I want. You know, I might even have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
So, but when I'm at home, I try to, mostly stick to the food that I love making. I love cooking steak, like genuinely love steak, you know, and salads and like steak and broccoli. I could do that twice a day forever, basically.
Yeah. So we had for dinner last night. You must have been on my mind.
I did it for dinner yesterday as well. So for me, the one thing that's really important is that the first meal is protein and fat heavy. So it's more of that keto, low carb kind of meal. And sometimes I do little bargains with myself, which is that it's like, oh, I know that I'm going to be doing this today, or I wake up for whatever reason, I'm super tired or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I just really want bread or I just really want whatever. And I say, all right, but do the responsible thing first and just have a steak or, you know, have the protein fat meal or have your bone broth. And half of the time, probably more than half of the time, once I do that and I sort of step up into sort of adult Maddie and don't succumb to my cravings in that moment, half the time I don't even want the thing that I initially wanted, you know, because my nutritional needs have been met, my stomach's full. And sometimes after that, I still do want it, but it's significantly less. So that's sort of my golden agreement with myself is just that the first meal of the day, whether that be at 7 a.m. or 2 p.m., is that I get, some protein and some fat in and the bone broth and some sauerkraut, you know, looking after my gut. And often doing that, just completely like neutralizes the craving anyway. But yeah, I definitely eat sugar though. I love chocolate. Love chocolate. Oh my God. And it's no secret. Even when I once had an Instagram account that had lots of followers, I used to talk about the fact that I love cookies. Cookies are they're my thing, you know. And they always have been. And my mum's a typical country mum that bakes a lot. And so whenever I go home, mum's always got amazing, delicious treats. And I never say no. sometimes I say to mum, hey, this was amazing, but I'm not taking any back to Melbourne with me.
Right. They're not allowed in my house.
Yeah. So yeah. And the other thing is I know myself well enough to know that it's better if it's not in the house.
Yeah.
Because if I just can't keep blocks of chocolate or bags of things in the house because I'll just inhale them at some point that day.
Yeah.
So I just know that it's just better. It's like only bring enough home for, you know, the snack or that particular scenario and either throw it in the bin, whatever's left, or just don't bring it home at all. So that's why I like the whole catch up with my friends, date night, seeing mum and dad, you know, all of that is there's no rules. It's just listen to my body. And half the time, all of those people and that know me, I'm already influencing them. So they're like, oh, I found this healthy restaurant. Or mum's like, bless her. She's like, oh, I've just discovered how to cook this even healthier than before. And I'm like, oh, mum, I love you guys. So a lot of the times, yeah, my social circle is improving in the way that they do things too. Plus, we do a lot of potlucks in my social circle.
Yeah,
where everybody cooks at home. So all of these things that I'm sharing are because it's highlighting ways in which I then don't need to eat sugar. It's not that I wasn't craving it, and I still do eat it, right? And sometimes, you know, I catch up with a friend for a coffee. I hate coffee, by the way. So, you know, I drink whatever I drink. And then I'm like, I cannot wait to eat that chocolate fudge in the window that looks heinously full of sugar. Or
it
anything
would be better
Biscoff.
With coffee.
Probably.
One day I'll get you to like coffee. No, I'm just joking. It's better you don't. It's better that you don't.
Now we do a lot of turmeric lattes and matcha lattes in Melbourne cafes.
Yeah. So. We do here too. We have some cafes that are good. We definitely
So anyway, that's my sugar answer.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, and I love that structure that you have for yourself. I think mine is like there, but it's just like intuitive or like I don't think about it much. Like there's probably some sort of structure or rhythm or rhyme to what I'm doing, but I'm just not thinking about it.
Just more unconscious habits at this point.
Yeah, I'd say so. Well, I hope so. At this point, I hope so. But all this, like, everything you were talking about, I was thinking, this is going to be so fascinating raising a child, right? Like I know that I'm going to be faced with like all of that, right?
All the parties and
And the concept of sugar in general, like, and how challenging that is. And, you know, I do very much want to not expose my child to sugar for as long as possible. Same with iPads and technology. So wish me luck. But we're going to do it. We have friends that do it and it's possible. So yeah, but the sugar conversation, right? Like I want my child to have a healthy relationship with sugar, with food. But I don't want to use it. Like I'm very conscious of how so many women and myself included, like connected quality time and love with their mom being around baking cookies. You know, and I can hear that what you're saying, like your mom always baked the cookies, right? So I want to be able to do that with my child, but not have it be like the only way that we connect, right? And it not be like this big tie that they're going to carry with them for the rest of their lives, right? And kind of have sugar be this neutral thing that I'm not using to treat them or reward them or like all those pieces, right, that I know for me were just like things I had to unravel and sort through. So really keeping it more neutral as opposed to using sugar as a tool and then working at connecting them with their body, right? Like how does it make you feel when they get to a certain age, obviously, and not having it in the house, like just kind of having that be a part of how we do. But I am going to be extremely challenged with grandma. Both grandmas are horrible sugar addicts. I love you, moms, mommies, both my in-laws and my real mom, both love sugar and both still use sugar to show love and connection. And so I know there's going to be areas where like I will need to set a boundary and stand my ground, but also areas where I'm just going to let shit go. Right. And, you know, if they're offering to babysit, fantastic, do whatever you want. Just maybe don't feed them sugar past a certain time so they actually sleep or something like that. I'll have to figure it out, but it's going to be a challenge. You know, coming into a world where it's so ingrained, and I'm looking forward to, I mean, I know there are lots of mothers who have blazed this trail before me. So I'm going to be looking for some advice. Anyone out there who's, you know, got some advice on that. I'm already banking up, preparing for that. Although hopefully the first few years will just be breast milk and simple.
And bone broth.
And bone broth. Yes. Yes. Actually, good point. Baby's first food, bone broth. I'll be drinking a lot of that. So I already am. Yeah, bone broth is a staple. pregnancy staple for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Yeah. So I'm curious, like we're talking about sugar here, but like, and some other habits. Do you have any current like bad habits like around your health or that you're working on breaking? Like what's a current bad habit you're working on right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. Current bad habit. I mean, at the minute, it feels like with all my injuries going on, it feels like a lack of habits, to be honest, just the absence of habits.
Yeah.
You know, like I could be doing far more ab workouts because I can do endless amount of ab workouts at the moment. So I could be doing more of that. I'm not getting outside very much because it's cold and miserable in Melbourne and sort of I'm limping around and I've got to put my foot in a moon boot, which is, you know, all levels of sexy. So I feel like it's the absence of habits at the minute. I'm just trying to think what's something that I'm doing routinely that I'm disappointed about or not happy about. But I would say it's the lack of stuff at the minute, the not getting outside enough. And I like, it sounds lame to say maybe, or maybe it sounds inspiring to say, I don't know, but I love doing my job. And, you know, I sit in front of this computer all day and I get worn out and tired and frustrated. And there's parts of it that I hate, you know, like we all do. But, you know, I'm so excited to build this podcast and build this business and help more people. And yeah, I genuinely like putting time between when I wake up and when I sit at this desk. That's probably a habit that I need to change, is that there's like 10 minutes in between waking up and sitting at this desk, you know, and because I've just got so much to do. But it's not like a negative overwhelm of or dread, you know. So I think, yeah, my answer is probably the absence of healthy habits that I would be probably doing if my body wasn't as broken as it is at the minute.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, we've had talks about that before. You're working too much. This is my feminine approach that comes in. Stop working so much. Take a day off. But that's the like the dark side of the entrepreneur who loves what they're doing, right? I mean, both you and I connect with that. I mean, I love my work too. And it's hard some days to like do other things, but I'm getting better at it. I think I'm pretty good at not overworking and taking more time for rest. So absence of habits. Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? Is there anything at the moment? I mean, you can get away with a lot of things. You're pregnant right now.
I know. It's great.
Yeah.
But I will tell you one thing that, I mean, I could tell you a couple of things that I was struggling with in that is we're actually just about to move. And I'm already noticing, like, so I'm about 6 months pregnant and I'm starting to, like, physically notice that I'm not able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally I am and energetically I am. So, like, moving... like I can't lift a lot of stuff. And for me, like I'm already having a hard time with that being like, I actually can't help us move. And that just feels really shitty to me. Like I want to help. I'm an equal team player. I want to be on the other side of that couch, like lifting that into the truck. Like, and I think the mental battle for me of like, I'm like having to listen to my body. I know I'm getting another lesson in that, right? Like I have to be that person that's just sitting and, you know, directing from the chair, right? Versus like actually being able to lift things, which is it's just so weird. Like I've never experienced that before, like not physically being able to contribute to this like massive shift and exciting thing that's happening in our life. But yeah, habits, definitely. I would say one, there's probably a couple that show up right now, but like one that I know is not serving me, but it also obviously is, or I wouldn't not be doing it, is Netflix before bed. Mm. I've gotten to this place where I'm like, just so tired at the end of the day. And it's starting to be really hot here. So I'm hot and pregnant. I don't want to be outside. I want to be in the air conditioning. Yeah. I'm done at the end of the day. And I just want to like curl up and, you know, binge on some Netflix right before bed. And that's just not something that I really want in my everyday routine. That's not something that I want to foster or do. Yeah. But so that's definitely something I'm working on now. And then also my phone, just being like on my phone more than normal, like checking Instagram, that's something that I really continually struggle with and wanting to work on setting better boundaries around, like just not even having my phone, like leaving the house without my phone, like having days where I don't even go on my phone. Yeah, there's some like attachment and addiction things there for sure showing up, just like being on and replying to text messages and checking Instagram, like all the things. I'm like, oh gosh. Yeah, just put the phone down.
Yeah. Now you brought that one up. I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
I intentionally do not have Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram on my phone. None of them are on my phone.
Inspiring.
Yeah, it's so great because the way that I think about it is with the type of businesses that you and I both run, all of that to me is business, right? Sure, I talk to heaps of friends and we, you know, you and I and Yalini and I and my mate Vin and I, we all send videos back and forth all of the time. But it's great because I just don't get them. And then I have one. Then I have like a session once a week where I sit down at my laptop or my computer, and then I go through like 2 hours of Instagram messages from my friends and hilarious videos and amazing quotes and whatever. But I find that I'm on my phone more than I'd like to be, and it's only ever when I'm in my own company. Like I'm such a social person. If I'm in the company of anyone, it's so easy for me to forget about my phone and be like, where's my phone? I don't even know where my phone is.
Yeah, me too.
So I need a housemate, which is why I've got one.
You got one. But they have to be like watching you all the time and in conversation with you all the time, right? You're not allowed to be left alone. Don't leave me alone with my phone. That's not a solution, Maddie.
No, I know. But the solution is the Freedom app. That helps me as well.
Yeah.
So the app that I've got on my phone that blocks all of the distracting apps, and it works on my computer too, and it's already operating by the time I wake up. And then, I find that very helpful because it's, in some ways I'm asking myself, do I always need to be stimulated by the presence of other human beings? And it turns out, no, I just need a little, it's like bumpers in when you go 10-pin bowling. I just need bumpers to say, hey, don't look at that. You can't access that right now. And it's like,
Later. I always love that because I know the day that you go and catch up on messages, because that's the day like you'll respond to all my things on Instagram or send me videos. I'm like, Maddie did his check and all these new things come in. Great.
Yeah. And I've just got that boundary with social media is work.
So good.
And I don't want work in my pocket all of the time.
Yeah.
When I'm out, being social. And don't get me wrong, occasionally I download Messenger because there's an important conversation that's going on and I'm thinking I really need to finish this conversation today because I want to, help this person or make a sale or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or if directions and there's somebody everybody's talking in one particular app. But ideally within a day or two, I've deleted that app again.
Yeah.
And I just feel it's so good. But I still find 25 different people to talk to inside, the apps that I do have, you being one of them.
Yeah, I've got the insider app. Message me, I'll give you his details. Hey, fun final question I have for you.
Yeah.
You're talking about work. Where do you see your work going, like in the future? This is so relevant for me right now, which is why I wanted to ask you the question. It's like, what do you see your business looking like 5 years, 10 years, like share your dreams with us, Maddie.
Yeah. I feel like in the last couple of years, I've just had a really harsh reminder as to how hard small business is basically. And so I kind of have broken up with my dreams. And what I mean by that is in the beginning, there was this big vision and it was going to be amazing. And that vision has changed so much because I've learned so much about myself, about the industry. My education has informed that change. And equally, this idea that I can even reach that goal feels so wild and ridiculous that I'm sort of saying, hey, let's just set a goal that's a little bit fractionally bigger than this year for next year. And we'll try and hit that first. Hey, buddy. So I feel, I don't really know what the future looks like, honestly. I know that I want to be able to provide for myself and my family and create a safe, secure income in this world of inflation. In Melbourne, at least, housing prices are, I think it's 20 or 30 times what they were compared to the average income than my parents. And it's unimaginable to me that I could do that. The only way I could do that is if I run a business that produces more income than a day job. And so for me personally, that's what I want. But in regards to, say, my impact on the world or what I create, in the last year, I've really started to see some commercial potential for what I do. And that's just sort of organically come out of rebuilding my program, redesigning things, using different tools and resources to be able to visualize it in a way that I think I'm thinking, wow, this could be in psychology clinics, or this could be, sold to organizations that possibly, need some kind of different perspective or tool set in regards to emotional binge, overeating, And I think those issues with social media are just, you know, going to become more and more and more. And the first generation of, you know, young women, particularly with eating disorders that grew up with social media as their entire life, Gen Alpha, I think it is. No, it'd be Gen Z and then Gen Alpha. You know, they're all about to become adults, and or they're already young adults. So those problems are not going away. And so I started really seeing, and I did some more education recently where I became a sort of eating disorder and emotional eating specialist, which was really interesting to have done. And I spent a lot of time with psychotherapists and psychologists talking about that stuff and learning about that stuff. So I'm really starting to see that, yeah, possibly there's some level of commercial future for this. And it sort of sounds businessy to use that word commercial, but what that really means is just it can reach a lot of people and help a lot of people. My personal goal in the beginning was that 10,000 people do my program. So that's still what I'm loosely moving towards. We're at about, you know, 350-ish at the minute.
Nice. You're almost there. So close.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just to continue the work that I'm doing, really, and I want to continue growing it. You know, do I have goals to be a bazillionaire? No, not really, but I would like to be able to live a very comfortable life and life not to be ever in question for partner and future kids and stuff like that. And after going on this business journey for about 8 or 9, this business for about 5, I just have a lot of respect for people that have managed to build businesses that make a lot of money. It's excruciatingly hard at times. Yep. And it's just so tedious, and social media and advertising algorithms, and it's just so complex now. And yeah, it takes a lot. And I'm also proud of myself because, you know, I've figured it out, you know, and I'm figuring it out, and there'll be new challenges, and, you know, there'll be down days and down years. And there's times when I had to borrow money from my parents and I've had to pay it back, and I've been broker than I've ever been before, but it's finally starting to, you know, I'm almost like a normal person again. I get paid every week or two now, and it's like, wow, you know, and paid much better than I did when I had a job as a cancer scientist, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know if that answers your question, but they're my thoughts.
Totally. Yeah, that's really beautiful. I'm so glad you mentioned those pieces. Like, it's freaking hard what we do, and especially like being on your own and in an online space, and there's so much noise, and there's, like you said, algorithms, and it's hard. I'm the same. Like, I've had some really hard years, and we've been there sort of handholding each other through it all, the lows, the highs. Like, we make it look all good and pretty. And I know so many people come up to me and they're like, oh, looks like things are so great, and love seeing what you're posting online. And I'm like, boy, I need to post some more real stuff, because that's not true. Like, it's actually been really shitty. I didn't make any money for the last few months or whatever it is. And yeah, the ebbs and flows of that is like really exhausting and difficult. And yeah, it's takes a certain breed of stubborn human to continue entrepreneurship. But that's because we're so passionate about what we do, right? And we know that there's so much potential, and I wouldn't change it for anything. I think, you know, like anything in life, you choose your hard, right? You can choose the hardness of inconsistent income and entrepreneurship, or you can choose the hardness of working for a shitty boss at a 9-to-5 that you hate. And it's going to be hard wherever you are in life, right? And how you approach that is your choice. So
I think as well, and maybe this is a whole podcast that we could do on this topic.
Next podcast.
Yeah. Well, when you've done some deep personal work, and I've spent, more than 10 years now seeing psychologists, doing mushroom journeys, doing all sorts of different modalities of therapy and healing, is that I also know myself well enough to know how to use the dark parts of myself for good. And so one way that I can talk about that is that my ego loves being the guy that has the answers, right? And I can be an arrogant wanker in social situations with that, or I can build a business that really helps people with that part of my personality, right? And so I know myself well enough to realize that, oh, I thrive in this business setting because there's so many things to know. I'm like literally a learning addict. I love knowing the stuff and being the guy that has the answers. But that has huge benefits to me and anybody that works with me.
And to me. I've benefited a lot from that. The amount of questions that I've sent Maddie. What's the answer to this? When my brother went through cancer, I was like, Maddie, tell me all the things. Like, what do we do? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I love that. And I've realized that, oh, there's ways that I can use some of the things that happened to me as a child that have produced personality traits or parts of me that were once very unhelpful and unfavorable because I wasn't, you know, they were reactionary and they were problematic. And now I can say, oh, how do I attach a really good scenario to this skill set or this survival mechanism that produces good for everyone, including myself? And I think I've found that in business, in being able to help people navigate their own psychology and their own emotions and stuff like that. So I think knowing yourself, like knowing myself, has been incredibly useful in realizing that, oh, this path is perfect for me, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, what about you? What about you?
I agree. Future plans.
Future plans.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Business.
They're going to be amazing. I'm so excited. So I also don't know, but that makes me excited right now. And it's interesting to reflect because as you're talking about like how hard this is, and I know you and I have been through some really low lows together. And I'm approaching this time at time of recording this. I mean, baby's coming in October and I'm planning to, and I'm so grateful to be able to create space where I'm planning to take a year off and I'm going to gift myself time to repattern a lot of the shit that I know about early childhood development that I didn't get to do and be fully present and not stressed and all the things. I mean, I'm sure stress will come in.
Yeah.
But just to give myself that space. And I feel like this is such divine, perfect timing for the business because I've been feeling for a while now that something's a little bit out of sync.
Okay.
With my business and with my work. So I know for me, the best way to always get clarity is to take a massive step back. So this is going to be the biggest step back I've taken in 8 years. And it's very strange. It's bringing up a lot of stuff for me around like, I'm going to lose everybody and all my followers are going to disappear and all the momentum I've built over 8 years is going to disappear and all the fears coming up. But at the same time, like really deeply knowing that this is going to be the next iteration of my business is going to unfold over the next year or two. And I'm so ready for it. I already have a few ideas of what that looks like. It's going to involve more in-person. Like one of the things that I am just feeling more and more called to is in-person. So as those who know me have known that I've started hosting retreats, also now a breathwork facilitator, like these are things I can do virtually, but I want to do in-person. So I'm going to be building more in-person community and events. And one of the things that is on my dream plan here as I'm building over the next few years, my partner and I just bought our dream home. So we bought a 5-acre property here in the Cowichan Valley on Vancouver Island. If you're in the hood, come visit. And the dream is to build it up to be a bit of a like a homestead and mini retreat space. So we do intend to host retreats like on our land and also ceremony. So I do know I am going to be leaning more and more into, I just feel really called to be doing more work with medicines, plant medicines, and psychedelic therapy, which is some of the work that both my partner and I do already, doing more breath work, hosting more ceremony, hosting more like women's circles, and, you know, just more community connection, bringing women, same idea of what I'm already doing, right? Really bringing women together to continue finding their voice, finding their true selves, being in safe space to feel and heal together and step into their power. And it just might kind of shift slightly away from, I don't know where sugar and everything that I do with that is going to play a role into it, but it's just like the depth of these pieces are going to kind of follow through with my offerings.
Yeah.
And so more retreats, more in-person stuff, and openness to how my message and my niche and my clientele shift as I shift into motherhood. I know my journey and what I've been teaching my clients and the programs that I run have been like a real direct manifestation of stuff that I've gone through. So like I'll heal through something or go through something and then teach about it. So I'm going through this massive transition right now, right? Becoming a mother for the first time, having to advocate for my health in a new way. Like there's already some thoughts and ideas percolating of like what I want to really help women with in this next phase.
Yeah.
It may be like, you know, raising healthy food children. That's not the right way to say that. Kids who have healthy relationship with food.
Blame your pregnancy brain.
Total. Thank you. No, my brain's working great. I'm unsubscribed to that.
Okay.
Until I'm like not sleeping, then we can definitely call it that. Yeah. So there's going to be like a total new iteration of what I'm offering and what I'm doing. And I don't know what that looks like yet, which is scary, but also very exciting. And I'm so excited to just like pull back a bit and give myself the space to adjust and give myself the time to really like feel into that and, and walk forward with intention versus like trying to force the, you know, the square peg into the round hole. And
yeah.
Yeah. And a part of that is going to be, I'm pulling back. I'm going to still have the podcast going. I'm working on batching episodes right now to give me a break for the first at least 6 months of motherhood. But I'm pulling back on posting on social media. I'm pulling back on frequency of my podcast, my newsletter. I'm no longer offering live programs. Like I'm taking a year off and feels good. I'm excited. So stay tuned for the next edition. And yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing that with you when I know more.
I'm excited for you to move into your new house. Yeah. And visit you.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. And come host a retreat here.
Yeah.
Let's go host probably something.
Do that. Yeah. Let's host a co-host a retreat. I think we could do that.
Yeah. Pay for your flight.
Yeah. Good idea. Oh my God. And then I could claim it on tax as well.
Done. Look at this. It's a happening, people. Join us 2025 for the founding retreat, Maddie and Danny retreat.
And Danny's children.
And Danny, just one child at that point.
Oh, okay.
I hope there's not two at that point.
Just one. Speaking of finding us in 2025, where can people find us right now on the internet?
Now, well, nowhere because I've shut everything. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. You can definitely still find me. I'll still be around. I'll be sharing along my journey as I feel fit on Instagram and Facebook at Danielle Dame, DanielleDame.com. And my podcast is Beyond Sugar Freedom. So come tune into the podcast. Those are probably the best spots to hang out with me. What about you, Maddie? Where can everybody find you?
Podcasts, How to Not Get Sick and Die. You're probably listening to it right now, or you're listening to Danny's.
Yeah.
So you can find me there on all the podcast apps. We've got almost 400 episodes. So, you know, bunker down for a couple of years, basically. And mattylansdowne.com. You can go to my website. That's basically the two best places to come and find me. YouTube channel is just launching as well. So we're going to go pretty hard on that for the next probably year and see if it works. You know, that's the whole business conversation. It's like, got to see if stuff works. So YouTube channel as well, which is just How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. So go and check that out there.
Awesome. Yay. Maybe they're watching us right now on YouTube.
Yeah. Love possibly it. Watching
this will be
on
YouTube. My YouTube too. So yeah.
But Danny, before you go, and maybe I can answer this too.
Yeah.
What is one piece of health information that you wish more people knew about? And since you've been on the podcast a bunch of times, you've answered this a bunch of times already.
What were my other answers? I wanted to say ditto. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. What do I wish everyone knew? I think, you know, just coming back into like the truth that your body can heal itself.
Mm.
Right. And that you have all of the answers within. This is something I used to always think was so woo-woo and bullshit, but it's so freaking true. And we need to stop outsourcing our health. Like you don't need anyone else's opinion or expert advice or whatever they're throwing at you to solve whatever problem it is that you're challenged by, whether it's your health or in life right now. Like you literally have all of those answers within. And it just takes getting the heck out of your own way to listen to them and to tune into what the body needs. And yeah, sometimes we might need some medical support or intervention, right? If you've broken a bone, you might need surgery or something, right? Like there's legitimate times for that, but your body will tell you, I need surgery, right? Like that can come from within. And don't forget that. Like, don't forget how crazy powerful you are and how wildly powerful your body is. Your body wants to be healthy. It doesn't want to be sick and shitty, right? Like, it wants to be healthy, and it'll tell us how to do that if we actually learn to listen.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. Tune into the intuition.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust your body. Listen. Shut up and listen. Stop being so busy all the time and listen. I mean, it's easier said than done for sure, but
it is.
Yeah. What about you, Maddie? What's the one piece of advice you think everybody should know?
Well, I want to go off the back of yours and sort of reference something we've already talked about, but in order to be able to tune in and listen, you need less coming in. You need less information. Yeah. And so I think, and this is ironically something that I also need to work on, but you know, having less stimulation from our devices, our phones. And so maybe you need to download the Freedom app. It really, really helps me, because the only way you can get in tune with what's actually happening inside your body is to be inside your body and have time each day where you're inside your body, you know, and you're not in other people's worlds and other people's creation. When you're absorbing the creation of other people, you're unable to create yourself. And so you need to create space there. And so that might be space from Netflix, might be space from the phone, it might be space from work, you know, something that I need to work on myself. But the only way that you get to, I guess, where you and I are, if people are listening thinking, oh, I wish I had more control of sugar, I had more, you know, control of any area of my health and wellness, I think a significant part of that journey is creating space for you to actually be you, have the experience of being you. And both you and I have done a lot of that, which is how we managed to become emotionally literate and become healthy and, you know how to navigate our health challenges. So that's my answer.
Yeah. Beautiful. Love it. Ditto. Ditto to that too. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I guess we'll put all of the links and stuff in the show notes below. And I guess have you on a podcast soon. Maybe we can talk about babies on the next podcast.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm fully booked for the next 6 months, but after that.
Okay, great. And after that, for the next 30 years.
Yeah, maybe we should record the podcast when I'm in active labor. That would probably be a good time, right? And I can tell you about like what's going on and the process.
Well, we're going live on YouTube now, so we need viral content.
That'll do it for some people, but that's not happening. I'm sorry, you're not welcome. Okay, no cameras allowed in that room.
Okay,
it's
a
very sacred process. But afterwards, let's do it. I love it. Let's have babies.
All right. Thanks, Danny. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember, too, that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning in to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.